Every time I get up in the pulpit like this, my mind just automatically starts to think of one thing, and that's greeting everybody. And I do want to greet you, but I don't need to always do that. Because when I do that, I get into that, and then I get directly into my lesson. And this morning, I wanted to say a few things about some of the events that we have coming up, and it just completely flew out of my head. So, but we have our gospel meeting, like Jim announced, and I'm kind of tickled about that. The person who's coming to speak, Andy Baker, he's a real good gospel preacher, and he's going to do a great job, and you're really going to enjoy listening to him. And I was talking to him about, you know, he was asking, well, what do you want me to preach on, this, that, and the other. And I said, well, we're doing a theme this year, Christ the King, you know, every first Sunday of the month, Christ the King. And he said, well, what about if I talked about the many crowns of our King and then just different aspects of Jesus? And I thought, hey, that sounds good, you know. And so we put this flyer together, and it's all ready to go. The many crowns of our King, that's going to be the theme for the gospel meeting. And the topics are in the flyer. And make your plans to be with us March 31st. We're going to kick it off. That happens to be Easter Sunday. So it's early this year, I think. So it's just kind of how it all played out. But that'll be good because we should have a lot of folks here. And so we'll kick off our gospel meeting on March the 31st. And I got to thinking about this topic, the many crowns of our King. Oh, by the way, before I go on with that, let me say a couple of other things, because John David and I were talking the other night, and we've got some things planned for this spring, and I think you'll find very interesting. First of all, on March the 10th, I believe it is, that's going to be the 50th anniversary of the dedication of this building. And so this building will have been here for 50 years on March the 10th. And one of the fellows listed on that building dedication, Robert Rochelle, he's still around. And we're going to have him come to speak to us on that Sunday. And we're going to call that Homecoming Sunday. All right. And so if you know anybody who used to be a member here who hadn't been around in a while and you're interested in, you know, inviting them to come, tell them, hey, we're going to have a Homecoming Sunday. It's going to be on, we're actually not going to do it on March the 10th because that's spring break week, and we figured there'd be people coming and going. So we're going to do it on March the 17th, which also happens to be St. Patrick's Day. Another just coincidence, nothing intentional about that. And so we'll have Homecoming Sunday on March the 17th. We're going to have our potluck that day. And so we're planning on doing something, you know, kind of big. And so we can cook some barbecue or brisket or pulled pork. You know, Jamie does a great job cooking the pulled pork. And we'll have that. And then, so y'all be planning for that. We're going to put out a little flyer for that, Homecoming Sunday. And then we're going to do a Family and Friends Day in May. And that's going to be the potluck Sunday in May. So in May, you know, we have Mother's Day. That's the second Sunday. And then the third Sunday, we'll have Family and Friends Day. And that's a day to invite all of your family and friends to come and to visit us. And we're going to make a big effort to get the message out on that day. We'll have some special topics on that day. And just invite your family and friends. Tell them, hey, we're having a Family and Friends Day. We'll make some flyers for it. Give them a flyer. And then invite them to come and let's see what happens. You never know. So we got a lot of things going this year, and I think it's going to be fun. But most importantly, We're going to honor the Lord with these events because that's what we're trying to do. Like we talked about this morning, get everybody to participate in God's purposes. And God has purposes for us, and it's beyond just living a good moral life, right? We've got to be busy getting out the message. And so let's keep these things in mind. We'll have more information for you coming, and we'll talk about it more. But let me get back to the topic for the gospel meeting, the idea of the many crowns of our King. And so I was thinking about that topic, and there's a song in our songbook, Crown Him with Many Crowns. I got to looking at this song a little bit. And Gavin, would you get me one of these songbooks over here and bring it up here? Because there's not one under the pulpit. But that'll work. But it's song number 193. And so I thought, well, I would like to sing this song at our gospel meeting. And, of course, I don't want to be the only one singing it. So I thought, well, we can work on it a little bit. And tonight we're going to work on this song a little bit, and I'm going to talk about this song a little bit. It's a great song. The song was written in 1851 by Matthew Bridges. And he wrote it based upon the text in Revelation 19, verse 12, which says, His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except him. Now, the song emphasizes Christ as King, which is part of our theme for this year, you know, Christ the King. And it talks about his reign on the throne, his victory over death, the peace that results from his reign, and his fellowship with heaven. And these are some great points that this song makes. And so what we're going to do tonight, I'm going to sing a stanza, and you can sing with me, and hopefully we'll kind of get used to it. I'm going to sing a stanza of the song, then we can talk about a stanza of the song. And then we'll sing another stanza, and we'll talk about that. And then we'll sing the third one and the fourth one, so on. And at the end, we'll sing the whole thing. And this is kind of to get you used to it a little bit, and also to help you to understand the meaning of the words. And then maybe as we learn this song, and maybe some of you already know it, I don't know. Janie, do you know this one? Okay. All right. So maybe it's a new song to us. And as we sing it together then, let's think about the emphasis on Christ the King. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and just lead the first stanza, and you're welcome to sing along with me here. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. And hail him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Okay, so there's the first stanza. Crown him with many crowns. And like Revelation 19:12 says, he had many crowns on his head. Now, this is a figure, of course, talking about the many responsibilities, the many rulerships, the much authority that Jesus Christ has. But here in this first stanza, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless King through all eternity. So there's an emphasis on Jesus being the King here. He's got many crowns. He's the Lamb upon the throne. All the music drowns everything out but its own. And music is associated with coronations. And so we are to wake up and we're to sing about Jesus who died for us and hail him as our King, but not just any King, our matchless King, because there's no other King like him. And so Christ the King is on his throne here in this first stanza. And, you know, as we look through the scriptures, Acts chapter 2 talks to us about how that Jesus was risen to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. And Peter said this, "Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to his flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." And so Peter there testified, Jesus is King. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. In Hebrews 1 and verse 8, we read, "But to the Son he says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." And in order to have a scepter, in order to have a kingdom, he's got to be a king. And Jesus is King. And of course, there in Revelation 19, 17, not too many verses after being crowned with many crowns, it says he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so this song, first of all, emphasizes that Jesus is King and he's reigning on the throne. But then secondly, we see his victory over death emphasized in this second stanza. Let's look at it together. "Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die." So let's sing this second stanza together now. Everybody got their songbooks ready? Here we go. "Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die." Okay, so there's an emphasis in this stanza on victory, on Christ's victory over death. And so as we look at the lyrics here in this song, you know, he triumphed, he rose victoriously. We sing his glories because of this. He brought eternal life because of this. And so he triumphed over death. And of course, you know, this is Bible teaching. Mark chapter 16 and verse 6. There, when the people came to find Jesus, the angel was there. And the angel said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." And so Christ rose from the dead and he triumphed over death. Hebrews 2 verses 14 and 15 tells us this also. "Inasmuch then as the children have been partakers or have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So through death, he destroyed the devil, the power of the devil, and he released those who were then in bondage to death. And so there's victory there. There's triumph there. He overcame death and the power of death. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 and 57 says it very clearly. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christ has triumphed over death, and now he lives that we may live and that we may triumph over death as well. So as king, he reigns victorious. And that's a great stanza in this song. Let's look at the third one here. It says, crown him the Lord of peace. So there you see, this stanza is going to talk about the peace that Christ brings. Whose power a scepter sways from pole to pole, that wars may cease, absorbed in prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. So here, this stanza is emphasizing the peace that Christ brings. And his power is one of peace. It's not one of conquering people through war. It's one of conquering hearts and minds and winning people through persuasion. And when folks are won to the gospel, they then want to live at peace with other people. And so the implication of that is, as we go throughout the world and bring people to Christ more and more, there's going to be more peace and less strife in the world. And that's what this stanza is about. From pole to pole, that wars may cease, Christ brings peace. You know, this was prophesied in the Old Testament that the Messiah would be a prince of peace, right? Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 57 verse 19, there God prophesies that in the future he's going to do something very special for his people. And he says, I create the fruit of lips. Maybe you've seen that expression somewhere else. It's in Hebrews chapter 13, by the way. The fruit of lips. I create the fruit of lips. Peace. Peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. Yes, God heals us through Jesus Christ, and he brings us peace. He brings us peace with other people. He brings us peace internally in our lives as we trust in him and his teaching. And he brings peace between God and man as well. Jesus says in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. He gives peace. For he himself is our peace. Ephesians 2 verses 14 and 15 says, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Jesus made peace between Jews and Gentiles. He made peace between man and God. He brings us inward peace. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. And so peace results from his reign. Not war, not conflict, but peace. That is the result of the work of Jesus Christ. So let's sing this third stanza then as we think about peace.
Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole that wars may cease, absorbed in prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet.
And so absorbed in prayer and praise is what people will be when they believe and accept Jesus Christ as their King. And they will have peace because they're going to be too busy praying and praising the Lord. When you're busy praying and praising the Lord, you don't have a lot of time for conflict. Well, let's look at this fourth stanza then. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, and the blessed Spirit through him give from yonder glorious throne. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. And this stanza emphasizes Christ's role in heaven and his relationship both with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And this is important because, look, as we talked about this morning, you know, our sins separate us from God, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And as a result of that, we need a mediator to intercede for us on behalf of us so that we can restore our relationship with God. Well, that's what Jesus does. And that's what this stanza is about. He is one with the Father. And so because he's one with the Father, he can be the mediator for us. He's both God and man. And so Christ makes fellowship with heaven. And that's what this is talking about. Fellowship with heaven. Now, as we think about this stanza and the meaning of this stanza, look at what we have here. You know, crown him the Lord with heaven, one with the Father known. And so when we think about Jesus' relationship to the Father, he's the one who reveals the Father to us. John 1, verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So Jesus reveals the Father to us because he knows who the Father is. And so that thought is directly from John 1, 18, one with the Father known, and the blessed Spirit through him given from yonder glorious throne. And maybe you remember in John 15, 14, that Jesus said that he's going to send the Holy Spirit to the apostles. And he did that. And so we find Christ, who has fellowship with heaven then. He is in heaven reigning alongside the Father's throne. He sends the Holy Spirit to earth so that now men may have fellowship with him. In John 17, 20, Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And so there's what Jesus wants, unity. Unity between God and man, unity amongst mankind, fellowship, harmony. That's the goal. And in Jesus Christ, we have that fellowship. Listen to 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. John wrote these words. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He came to bring fellowship, to make fellowship with mankind. And that's what this stanza is about. One with the Father, sending the Spirit. He's died for me. He's died for you. And we're going to praise and glorify Him throughout eternity because of that. And so His fellowship with heaven. So let's sing this whole song now, all four stanzas, and we'll work on it, and then we'll have our invitation here, and we will let Gavin lead the invitation song in just a minute here. So let's sing 193. Here we go.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways, from pole to pole that wars may cease, absorbed in prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round His pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown Him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, and the blessed Spirit through Him give from yonder glorious throne. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for Thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
All right, well, that is a really good song. It has a lot of good teaching in it. And that's why we sing these wonderful songs, to teach and admonish one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And as we've been thinking about this, we've been talking about Christ being the Prince of Peace. And He wants us to have peace with God. And that happens through Jesus and through the plan that He's given to us that we can be saved. And that is to hear His word and believe it, repent of our sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And when we have that forgiveness, Christ is then the one who makes peace between us and God. And as we have forgiveness for God, we extend forgiveness to our fellow man, and we have forgiveness with one another. And that makes for peace. And that's a great thing. We want peace. If you want peace in your life, you need to come to Christ tonight while together we stand and while we sing.